This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Into center field, coming on Jake Myers. Astros win 4-3, taking 2 out of 3 in this series from Kansas City. They had to fight from down in this game, 2-0 and 3-1. Blummer, that's a nice series win.
That was a nice series win for the Astros. They take the series from the Royals. They take last night's game 4-3. Todd Kalas on the call on Space City Home Network. Joe Espada said after the game, that was a clutch win by the Astros last night.
I thought we were clutch. We got the big hits when we needed to. We stayed in the game. Bullpen did a nice job, keep us in the game, and our offense just never stopped pushing till we got those big hits by Jeremy. You know, nice at-bat by Dubon there. That was a great team win, great team series.
Yep.
That was a good win.
Bullpen was excellent last night. 4 2/3 shutout innings, one hit. Good win last night. Some clutch hitting late in the game, and Jeremy Pena's been outstanding lately. Jeremy Pena 4-for-4 last night, .315 batting average right now in the season, .840 OPS. It all matches the eye test. The move to leadoff has been really, really good for him. Seth is the Astros triple crown winner right now. He leads them in batting average, home runs, and RBIs. He is the Astros triple crown, not triple crown league wide, but damn it, in Houston, he's got the triple crown right now. Jeremy Pena.
In terms of AL, he's amongst shortstops in the AL. He's fourth in OPS.
Okay.
Bobby Witt there from Kansas City,
yeah,
the young phenom, is number one in that category.
You got a taste of him this week.
Yeah. Now, with Pena, it's been with a very, very good surge to get him to up to that spot. So,
yeah,
on the whole of it, he's playing really good baseball. He's playing that same caliber of baseball as Bobby Witt. He's just hasn't been doing it for the entire year. A lot of categories. Pena is fourth in amongst shortstops in MLB right now. RBIs, he's fourth. RBIs. He's fourth. But he's playing very good baseball.
He's been excellent, man. He's second
in batting average.
There you go. Yeah, he's been really good. What'd you think of Colton Gordon last night?
I like him.
You like
he's,
him?
He battled and he fought and he is aggressive. He was throwing almost too many strikes early on, and that's his MO. He throws a lot of strikes, but I like a guy that just goes in there and pitches his game.
Yeah,
and you know Bobby Witt Jr. was the first one that tagged him for a triple,
yeah,
there early on. Then he let up that home run in the second. But by and large, you saw it. You can see where the upside is.
Yeah, he had a clean inning in there. He had a 1-2-3 inning in there at one point. Yeah,
there's a nice story about from Matt Kawahara in the Chronicle this morning, where he interviews his youth baseball coach and talks about how, like, back when the kid was 11 years old, he was one of those kids. It was just, sounds like Alex Bregman, like the pitching version of Alex Bregman was, yeah, just a junkie and was out there whether it was raining or not, like that he was there and he was just dialed in and focused. And like a lot of Astros pitchers, he hasn't had a smooth and rosy path on into the profession. He started off at community college and then transferred, and he's really worked and grinded his whole way.
Yep, 85 pitches, 4 1/3 innings last night. The notes I wrote down were, hey, he gave you 85 pitches and didn't poop the bed. What the hell do you want? That was the notes I wrote down. Which is good. I mean, that he handed the baton over to a bullpen that shut them down the rest of the way really helped. Josh Hader's been awesome this year, too. Got to give him his props. 10 for 10 on save opportunities. ERA below 2. He's been great this year. He's been really good.
Sean Dubin came in and got hosed by the second base. I blame the grounds crew at Minute Maid
Park.
Yeah,
push
can't
the base
into the ground. Can't you guys doctor that thing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, can't you soften up the actual bases themselves when the Astros are on defense?
Can't you make it so the bases are in the ground when they're on defense and raise them way up when they're up there batting? Come on,
just an imperceptible sinking and raising and softening.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, come on.
Like an old man's...
Okay.
Never mind.
School's almost out, Seth.
It's yeah. Let's go.
Text message. Altuve wanted to move to the two-hole so he had more time to get ready to bat after running in from left field. Was that true, or was he just kidding when he said that? Altuve, that he's got to run all the way in from left field, so if he doesn't have to bat leadoff at the beginning of the game.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either. I'm just saying this texter sends it in as if it might be. No, I don't think it's true. I think he was kidding. Because after the first inning, that's out the window.
Although Altuve, you know, he is very much a creature of habit, like many baseball players. But remember with the pitch clock, that was one of my big concerns, was Altuve. Altuve had a really multi-step procedure. Yeah, he would undo the Velcro on his gloves. He would step back. He'd kick around. He'd come in. So he accelerated that, and he eliminated some steps. So I don't know. Yeah, I'd say 50-50 whether he was joking or not about having to run in from left field.
Yeah, kids, if you've only been watching Astros baseball since the pitch clock started, the things that Altuve does when he gets his one time out during an at-bat, he did that in between every single pitch before the pitch clock. He'd step out, adjust his gloves, adjust his helmet, take 15 seconds to get in the box.
Say something nice and pleasant to the catcher or the umpire.
Sign an autograph for a kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd have to go back there, even on the road. You know, he'd go and he'd,
raise $10,000 for charity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All in between pitches. I mean, really, the pitch clock it's negatively impacted charities throughout the greater Houston area because Altuve usually just raise money in between pitches. So this Alex Bregman article that Jeff Passan wrote, a long article about Alex Bregman's acclimation to Boston that I wish wasn't so long because it did make me miss Bregman, this article. So we'll get to the kind of the damning part for the Astros, or at least perceived as damning yesterday when it dropped. But the overall tone of the article, Seth, outside of the part where it talks about Bregman becoming basically 2019 Bregman all over again as a hitter, they interviewed a bunch of the young guys on the Astros. And I think it was Marcelo Meyer who said he went up to Bregman and said, "Hey, bro, can we marinate and talk baseball with you?"
Yeah.
And Bregman really liked that, the whole idea of marinating in the clubhouse, just chilling and talking ball every day, man.
Yeah.
And the effect he's had on these young guys. Yeah.
The same thing he did with, I think it was DiCenzo last year that would sit down with Bregman and Bregman
nerd out.
Bregman's like an old man with a long white beard that will just sit and talk to people who come visit him on top of his mountain.
Yeah.
And Passan couldn't have gushed more about how well-regarded Bregman is around the league as being one of the smartest minds in baseball and all of that. This is really a hit piece on the Astros is what it was.
Bregman?
They didn't even, without even mentioning really the Astros as much at all other than the Bregman's tenure there, this was a hit piece on the Astros, damn it.
Bregman has cultivated a reputation as perhaps the smartest baseball mind in the game. A combination of film hound, analytics dork, eagle-eyed scout, and pure knower of ball. Oh, God. I want to barf. No, I hate knower of ball. I hate knower. I hate knower as a description of somebody. I'm a knower of things. Shut up. Yeah. It's not a word. Pure knower of ball. Gleaned from a wildly successful big league career. As Meyer put it in his unique verbiage, "Hey, bro, do you just want to marinate in the clubhouse and talk shop?" End quote.
Yeah. And Bregman was like, "Sure, fella.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I'll do that anytime." Bregman said it reminded him of him when he was a youngster, and he just wanted to sit in the clubhouse for 4 hours after games talking about baseball. I remember Lance McCullers telling a story about Bregman early on, where on the flights after games, he would just have his head glued on to either his tablet or the screen in front of him watching whatever was being broadcast, like watching baseball constantly. He's just a 100% junkie.
Yep, 100% junkie. Now, to get to the part where this was what was making its way around the internet yesterday, which people started pointing fingers at Cintron, Alex Cintron and Troy Snitker, the two hitting coaches for the Astros. The deal that Bregman got, $40 million a year, was a big deal, probably bigger than somebody whose numbers Bregman has put up the last few years should have gotten, right? Like people were, that opened a lot of eyes. Wow. Even though just a short-term deal where Bregman's got some outs and things like that, $40 million a year pops. But Bregman and the Red Sox both believe that he could, this is Passan talking now, could get himself back to the version of himself from 2018 and 2019. And I think we need to remind people, like 2019 Bregman was like an otherworldly hitter. He's a 40 home run guy, OPS of over 1,000. If you don't remember that, I get it, because we've been through a lot since then as Astros fans. That's been a long time. That's 6 years ago. Bregman, but so the Red Sox believe they could get Bregman back to that point. That's when Boston's hitting machine went to work. Red Sox coaches already had put together a presentation to explain how and why he needed to fix his swing. Over time, Bregman had developed almost imperceptible bad habits. Timing of loading his hands was too late and too fast. Moving his hands as the ball left the pitcher's hand left him vulnerable. Bregman didn't possess the sort of bat velocity to make up for that. Bregman said, quote, "After all those successful years, I was like, I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be better. So I started trying to change things and improve, instead of doing what made me who I am and just refining what I was already doing at the time," end quote. They go on to talk about how the Red Sox hitting coaches got Bregman into the cage, which is his favorite place on earth, and said, Dude, just win in the cage every day.
Don't worry about the results in the game. Just win in the cage and just get back to basics. And focus on the process.
And lo and behold, he's a top three MVP candidate in the American League right now.
If I'm going to give the Astros hitting coaches a break here, the only thing I might say is that, look, sometimes when you hear the same message from a coach, especially kids whose father is their coach time after time after time, that it starts to lose its import and its impact. And likewise, as a coach, when you're working with the same player all the time, you kind of develop blind spots for that player. So sometimes just by virtue of having a new set of eyeballs on a guy, that can make the difference. I'm not here to litigate whether Cintron and Snitker need to be replaced or fired. I think for me, the biggest takeaway after reading this article is, man, of all the guys that you could have bent on and gone outside of your possibility, like in terms of being a GM or an owner, of all the potential free agents, this is the guy. Yeah. Like, this is the guy. And frankly, Carlos Beltran, if it were not for the trash can scandal, Carlos Beltran was that guy that helped the Astros get to World Series caliber, because he was the guy in the clubhouse that was like a coach that could work with guys, teach them how to do things differently and more professionally. That's a part of it that really stings, is that, man, if you really wanted to retain some of that soul of the championship era Astros, Bregman might have been the most vital guy. Of guys that were, you know, Bregman was a young guy when all that was going on, but now he's become that Carlos Beltran or any of those veteran players who are on the team at that time.
Yeah, and he's actually an all-star. You know, like Beltran got here at the end, and that's all he was there for pretty much, was to do what you're talking about. Bregman's still only 30, 31 years old, and he's got an OPS of 1,100. Guy just hit his 11th home run last night. He's got 11 home runs. We're a quarter of the way through the season. He's on pace to have a 2019 season again. You know, he's back to being an OPS over 1,000 guy. And this is in the time of the calendar year where normally he was having to play catch up from, you know, like he wasn't doing stuff like this remotely close until June the last few years. And now he's doing it. I'm telling you, this article hurt to read.
It was a really great indication of everything that people value in Bregman above and beyond the box score. And now also because of the actual, it wasn't the personal batting coach or anything. I keep seeing a lot of people on social media say, hey, you guys are overblowing this because these guys all have their own personal batting coach. He is specifically crediting the Red Sox batting coaches with identifying flaws in his process and helping him fix them. And now he's playing like a perennial all-star.
Yeah. And to me, like reading this article, like that, the hitting part, the hitting part to me was less frustrating than the clubhouse part. Because this team is just missing juice right now. And I'm not talking because their OPS is 15th in baseball. I'm talking they miss some kind of sizzle on this
team.
Well, we
talked about it yesterday. It was the personality and the energy and just the entire vibe. Even before the Astros were a World Series caliber team, it was just different than what you have now. In 2015 and 2016, there was a spunk to that team that's just different than what it is now. It's a boring baseball team.
Yep.
It's annoying me.
Yep. All right, so it's a good article, though. I would say, I mean, unless you want to have your feelings hurt. The last add on this thing, and then we'll get over to the Texans schedule, is that I do wonder if at some point Jim Crane is going to have to bend on his policies about not doing these opt-out deals, you know, not swimming in the end of the pool that other teams swim in when it comes to bringing these guys. Because it's starting to dry up. You're starting to get to a stage where you just can't let guys like this keep walking anymore.
The Red Sox deal is not a deal that would have broken the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Astros, you know, it wasn't a 10-year, you know, the $300 million guaranteed contract or anything like that. They could have done the Astros deal or the Red Sox deal.
Yep.
You know, by the time Bregman made his decision, then it probably wasn't feasible. But if they had offered it up front, I don't know if Bregman would have accepted it up front because it was just it got down to an auction variety. He wanted to wait and see what all his options were.
And I guess I'm giving Crane a little bit of latitude right now in that they've got a lot of dead money there with Abreu and Montero. Yeah. But that dead money is there because you and Jeff Bagwell and the non-GM, you know, triumvirate there, Reggie Jackson, are the ones who gave Abreu and Montero those contracts, you know?
Yeah.
So you put yourself in that spot.
I know that now, this is interesting from Jim Crane's perspective when he sits down and reads this article. And he's thinking, well, I didn't want to pay for last year's version of Bregman, but I would totally have paid for this year's version of Bregman.
Yeah.
And then you look at the coaching staff and you look back to the article. And then you look to the coaching staff.
Amen, man.
It's impossible to ignore it.
Yep. All right. Texan schedule is out, dropped last night. The whole NFL schedule is out. And my biggest takeaway is that the Texans still do have some luster as far as the league is concerned. They got four primetime games. They're spread out nicely. They're not in three consecutive weeks like they were last year, weeks 9, 10, and 11. That got rough. But they've got, in fact, for the second straight year, Seth, the season opener at home, the home opener, is in week two, and it's a primetime game. It was Caleb Williams and the Bears last year coming to NRG Stadium in week two. This year, it's Baker Mayfield and the Bucks. Monday Night Football week two, after facing the Rams, the Texans doing their opener in L.A.
I guess the only one thing I wondered about is whether, man, okay, that Chargers, when you talk about the Christmas Day game, right now the Christmas Day games are already scheduled and what have you, but theoretically the Texans could still play on Christmas if they decided to add a Christmas Day game. So, because that Chargers game would be played December 28th if it was on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But they could be a team that played. So that's the one little – I'm holding it out that the NFL
you think they would, you mean like they could flex it into Christmas is what you're talking about?
No, they could just add a Christmas Day game. There's no – they haven't been scheduled yet. Right now they just haven't – there's no – it's to be determined when they play the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
That Chargers game could get – yeah, flex into a new slot that they negotiate with Netflix or whoever. Where's the Christmas Day game broadcast this year?
The Christmas, there's three Christmas Day games this year.
Oh, and they're all different platforms.
And it's not Christmas on a Thursday, so there's already a Thursday night game. So I don't think there's any danger of that.
Just saying it could happen.
I'm just saying, yeah, I don't think it could, but
it wouldn't be a flex. It would just be scheduling them because right now they're to be determined.
Yeah, I guess those TBDs are usually mean Saturday or Sunday. So. So anyways, how did the league do with my wish list? Because Christmas Day, no Christmas Day game was on my wish list. They didn't give us a Christmas. They didn't no holiday games for the Texans. So you get to enjoy your turkey or your ham, your opening presents, whatever it is you do on your holidays, you get to enjoy it. Thank you, Ben. Yes. I get a green check mark. The league really screwed me later, though, on one of these. So we got that. Now, you and I differed on that one, I think, and you and I differed on wanting to get Cam Ward early. We actually have a text from somebody that said, hey guys, I'm a little nervous about Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. Should I be nervous about Cam Ward?
You should be nervous about any rookie quarterback, always and forever. Going back to Vince Young, when the teams don't have a real good feel for what they can and can't do yet, and you don't know how the quarterback's team is going to use him, and then if they can scramble like Cam Ward can and make some spectacular throws, just like Anthony Richardson last year, even though he wasn't a rookie, or Anthony Richardson in his first year when he was a rookie. Yeah, it's just a huge wild card that you don't have the advantages that you might have later in the season when you start to realize what a guy's flaws are. I don't like seeing Cam Ward this early, but at the very least, they'll have three games of game film on him. But if he starts week one versus game one, obviously.
Yeah. Weeks 4 and 11, they face the Titans. So they get the Titans at home in week 4 and then in Tennessee week 11.
Yeah, rookie quarterbacks in general. Think about the various quarterbacks who have won rookie of the year and then gone on to underperform later in their career.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge wrench in the gears. You could get the best version of him, you could get the worst version.
Well, if Cam Ward is a thing right out of the chute, like by week 4 of CJ Stroud's rookie year, he was dicing up the Pittsburgh Steelers. It took CJ a couple of games to get his legs under him, and then he was off to the races after that his rookie year. If that's who Cam Ward is for the Titans, that first 5-game stretch of the season might be the hardest stretch for the Texans, because they face Matthew Stafford on the road, Baker Mayfield in week 2, and we know, Baker was really good last year. Who knows if Liam Cohen is able to get Trevor Lawrence back to where his pay grade says he should be. And then week 5 is Lamar Jackson. Like, Cam Ward is supposed to be your break in that. Cam Ward at home is supposed to be your break in that first 5 weeks. If Cam Ward is a rookie of the year caliber quarterback, that's a tough stretch right there to start off the season of quarterbacks for the Texans defense. That's some good tests right there. So that's number 2. So I'll take a ding on that one. They satisfy both me and Seth on that one, I think. I wished that they would get two of those West Coast games, Seth, the two LA games, or maybe an LA game and a Seattle game. Maybe get them on a single road trip so the team can just go out there one time, spend a week out there.
So the fans could make a week of it, too.
For sure.
The fans that wanted to go out there and have themselves a nice vacation.
Yeah.
Just go out and spend a week in Southern California.
Yeah, yeah, man. They didn't do anything of the sort. They put the Rams in week one, the Seahawks at a 9 o'clock Central time start on Monday Night Football in week seven, and then the Chargers, as Seth mentioned, week 17. That's the weekend after Christmas. Yeah, they didn't do good on that one for me.
I actually like it kind of being bookended like that in terms of also it spreads out the long travel and the whatever challenges that presents.
It is spread out nicely. You're right about that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, when they face the Seahawks, so they'll have a long travel on a Monday night, but it's after the bye week.
Yeah.
You get the Rams, it's the first week of the season, and then you've got a home game the next week, so that's relatively easy. And then the Chargers is sandwiched by two home games also. So they, in terms of how the West Coast travel could really ding you, it's about as good as it could be.
If it wasn't going to be my double dip, I would want it to be the way they laid it out. So that's a really good point, yes.
Plus, CJ's got some time to recuperate, maybe save some money up for his catering bills, because I'm guessing he's going to have a bunch of team dinners at his home or whatever. I'm guessing he's bought a nice place for his mom out in Southern California. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that costs a penny. So he'll have an entire season's worth of game checks to pay for that second go-round.
Yeah,
this
is not like having your basketball team over. There's 53 hungry dudes out there that are looking to eat. You're absolutely right. So that's number three. These are my wish list things that I put out there earlier this week. We're 2 for 3 so far. No late bye week. I'm going to give them a ding on that, the NFL, except it's a little early. Like, if I want to get picky, like week 9 would be perfect. Week 6, I'll take it. And to me, it's better than what they had last year with the bye week in week 14 or whatever it was.
I like it simply because it gives Nick Caley a chance in his first year as an offensive coordinator to have a week to sit back and self-scout, look at where things went right, look at where things went wrong. It's one of these things. It seems like NFL teams shouldn't have to contend with something like this. Like, don't they have all the best analytics at their disposal and everything? Psychologically, it's hard when you're immediately game planning for the next opponent to really sit back and digest what did go well, what didn't. So he gets a nice break after 5 games to see where, okay, we got to focus on this, we got to focus on that.
Yep.
I like the early bye week for this year's scenario.
Yeah, I do too. That Caley regrouping and kind of assessing things 5 weeks in is really, and look who they play right before the bye week is Baltimore. Like, that might be where we're like, you know what, they could really use a bye week. the way they played against Baltimore the last 2 years, you know?
It's the Ravens are by far the team that's got the most emotional space in my head right now.
Yeah.
And I look at the Ravens because you haven't competed against them at all the last 3 times you've played them. Just that, you've got to get over that hump somehow. And they're a different team than a lot of the other really good teams in the NFL. I mean, they're a tough physical football team, and some of the matchups just become a matter of like, all right, who swings a bigger bat in this matchup. So I like the actual visceral part of beating the Ravens. That would be a big win before a bye week if they can win that.
Yeah, you haven't been on the same field with them by and large, you know, like figuratively on the same field with them in any of the games you played since CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans have got here. It's been 3 blowouts. You know, you've been competitive at times within the games. The two games in Baltimore in 23 were competitive at halftime score-wise, but the dam breaks and it's the Ravens just bludgeoning you. Now, the Christmas Day game was an ass-kicking.
Christmas Day, there was just no contest. The playoffs game, yes, the Texans were down with their wide receivers and numbers, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The first half was competitive, but part of that was that the defense was playing a game plan that was very much boom or bust.
Yeah.
They were blitzing way more than they had before, and it was... I was really nervous at the half because I thought, I don't know if they can keep this up. They just can't keep putting themselves at risk like this.
Well, and the only touchdown they scored was on a 70-yard punt return by Steven Sims. The offense was doing nothing to take pressure off the defense at all in that game. The Ravens, the only thing that would be better than the Ravens right before the bye week would be getting the bye week before you play the Ravens, so you got another week to get ready for them. That would have been the only thing that would have been better. But no late bye week, so we like that. Last thing I requested, and this was the biggest middle finger that the league had to me. I think Seth feels differently about this one because he's just not as big a wuss as I am. Mm. But I said, you know what? This Kansas City game, you know when the Texans have thrived in Kansas City since Patrick Mahomes got there? In the afternoon, early afternoon window on a Sunday, on a pleasant October day, how can we get the Kansas City game early in the season, noon start, off the grid. Go in, take care of your business, get out. None of this cold weather, none of this prime time, and certainly not both. And the league was like, yeah, okay, yeah. And give it two buzzes, Ben. That's a week 14, December 7th, I think it is. It's week 14. It's early December, Sunday Night Football at Arrowhead Stadium. They're like, Sean, you need to grow up and be a man. Grow a set, drop them. Your stones need to drop. You need a primetime game in Kansas City. And you know what? I've had 12 hours to talk myself into it, and I've talked myself into it. I'm as excited as you are about this now. It goes against my request, but I have no choice but to get excited about the opportunity that exists in Kansas City.
Going back into a place that, C.J. Stroud had an emotional breakdown on the football field while he was there and then made some really bad mistakes after his emotional breakdown.
Injury was
you
got
to exercise those demons, okay?
There's
a lot at stake here in terms of being a bona fide, genuine NFL team here. And you just go in and do it in basically like a playoff type environment. It's not that late in the season, but it's late enough in the season in a primetime game versus the Chiefs I'm very much looking forward to it.
I
reserve the right to change that opinion.
Well, it's 14 weeks in, so we'll see. The Texans will have done plenty of things to shape our opinion one way or the other. But I would say overall a fun schedule, you know, just enough primetime games. I think it sets up nice at the end of the year. Three out of your last four games are at home, and all the home games are against teams that were, you know, 6, 7, 8 win teams last year.
Middle screen brought up a great point about the first game of the season versus the Rams, which is that the Rams notoriously or famously do not play their starters at all in the preseason, and then Rams fans get frustrated when the Rams get off to a rusty-looking start. So it's a huge test. It's a huge test. Having the Rams in week one, the Rams have an excellent defensive line. The Texans have an offensive line that we don't even know what it looks like yet. That's a big test for that Texans offensive line on the road in week one. The one saving grace might be that, all right, at least the Rams players might be a little bit rusty. The defensive line, though, the defensive line rush factor, it's probably the position group where it matters the least. They're going to have really fresh legs because they take care of their starters. So this is very much for me about can the Texans offensive line put up a fight and be respectable against that Rams defense. If they actually beat the Rams defensive line, I'll be as happy as I could possibly be after a week one regular season game, because that's going to be a very promising beginning.
Yeah, this is, you know, without looking at the entire schedule, I mean, obviously Baltimore's got a really formidable front. Kansas City has Chris Jones. They've got some Karlaftis. They've got some guys. This is about as tough a test right out of the chute that this offensive line could get, I would say.
I like the other part that is intriguing to look ahead to, since we're fresh off the draft, is the various rookies, the high-profile rookies you're going to see. So Travis Hunter in week 3, followed by Cam Ward in week 4. That's big. Yeah. Gray Zabel, drafted by the Seahawks, and a lot of people really wanted the Texans to, and perhaps the Texans were trying to trade up to get Gray Zabel. When Gray Zabel came off the board, that's when the Texans were really looking to potentially trade at that point.
18.
So,
yep.
Yeah. Mikel Williams is the rookie of the 49ers, pass rushing edge guy. Not as big a buzz factor, and the Texans were never probably going to draft an edge rusher. But then Tyler Warren, the tight end for the Colts in weeks 13 and 18. A, because it's the Colts. B, because the Texans have been miserable against tight ends as of late.
Yeah.
So is Tyler Warren a huge impact or a huge factor in those games? And then, the other big one, Ashton Jeanty in week 16.
Oh, the Raiders rookie running back. Yeah. Hopefully he's banged up by then. Nothing debilitating, nothing career ending, but hopefully they've fed him the ball like 30 times a game up to that
point. There's a bunch of quotes from Ashton Jeanty about like, wow, they weren't joking about how long a season this is.
Right. Hopefully if we Google in week 16, if we Google Ashton Jeanty rookie wall, there's 15 articles that pop up, you know?
Well, remember too, like Damian Pearson, his rookie year, how outstanding it was. And yet, those last few games before he got injured, he wasn't the same guy. He had started to hit, but it was a combination, I think, of the the league figuring out what they were doing with him, but then also just whatever physiological wall you
had. Yeah, it's interesting because Dameon Pierce was not the featured back in Florida. He was really good, but he wasn't the Ashton Jeanty ran for 2,000 yards last year. He might be more callous to it. You know, like he might be more. And Boise State was a playoff team last year, so he's already played a 15-game season, you know? Like, he's damn near played an NFL season in his career, you know?
The last four games of Damian's rookie year in 2022, after he came off a really nice stretch of, like, close to 100 yards or over 100 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, 73 yards, 78 yards. That 78-yard performance, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry.
Yeah. And then he missed the last few games, right? Didn't he twist an ankle?
Yeah, that was those were the four games before his injury.
Before his injury, yeah. He was done for the season. We'll talk more about the schedule. I need you. You guys are gonna have to help me in the 8 o'clock hour because Amy and I have to pick our bye week road trip. No Buffalo, Seth. No Buffalo game for me and Amy in week 6 this year.
Oh, for you to go during the bye week.
Yeah, that was my wish. If you were listening yesterday.
What's the most appetizing one now?
I've got four of them. I'll hit them at 8 o'clock. But there's four of them. It's interesting because we've been to four. We want to go to a different stadium every year. We've done this 4 years in a row now. I'll lay them out there and then we can hash them out because we got a couple minutes here. The four that we're thinking about are Rams at Baltimore, the Titans at the Raiders, just because it's in Vegas. The Monday night game between Chicago and Washington, the Commanders.
Where's that?
Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels in Washington. Monday Night Football. Yeah, in Washington. And
you really want to risk that? You really want to go to Washington? I don't know. Okay.
We got connections that might be able to help us at that Commanders game.
So far, Las Vegas is the leader in the clubhouse.
The other one is, and you would never go on this trip, but it's specific, Arizona at Indianapolis. Notre Dame plays NC State the day before, so we could do a Notre Dame game Saturday and a Colts game on Sunday.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. That could be a whole lot of fun. Plus, no, I think you need to do that because then you can really you can drum up some social media hatred.
Yeah, that's true.
You can really tweet stuff about how stupid and ugly Indianans are from the game. Yes.
I can do to them what I've done to Minnesota Twins fans all these many years. I can do that to Colts fans. Get them angry.
You can get banned from the state of Indiana. Well, you don't want to get banned because you do want to go to Notre Dame.
No, but just the city of Indianapolis. The city limits.
Indianapolis. Yeah. No skin off your back. Yeah. When are you going to go there for non-NFL reasons?
All right, so the leader in the clubhouse right now, for you at least, if you had a vote.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It would be that Indiana trip.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and you got to go do negative food reviews beforehand, too. You got to go to that steakhouse
St. Elmo's. Go to St. Elmo's and talk about what trash the shrimp cocktail is there.
Say, is this a shrimp or a hemorrhoid? I can't tell. What is this? What's going on here?
Tell me about how hot this cocktail sauce is, and I'm just guzzling it.
Guzzling
it, but doctor the video to where I'm like, we leave out the part where I'm dumping a bucket of water on my face.
Well, no, you just bring in your own cocktail sauce and, just put it in a fancy dish or something, then guzzle it. Yeah.
You're good.
If I had the time and energy, I was going to do a fake Indianapolis Colts schedule release where I had just gap toothed idiots, the mayor of Indianapolis. Played by Cletus, the guy down the block.
I didn't know that you were thinking of doing that because now I want it really, really badly. That would be really, really good.
I'll work on it all off season. Once I know who the Colts' opponents are for 2026, I'll start working on it in advance.
There you go. Who do you think the people would pick of those games that I just laid out for me and Amy? Rams at Baltimore. Arizona at Colts with a Notre Dame game the day before. Trip to Vegas. It's Tennessee, but Tennessee at Vegas. And then Monday night, Chicago at Washington.
Okay, so the Rams at Baltimore would be cool just because that is a great environment. Yeah. I loved playing in Baltimore. It's a great environment.
It's a good game, too. Those are two good teams. Yeah.
I think if you went to the pure vacation aspect of it, Vegas, 100%.
Yeah.
And I'm still curious. I want to go see a game in that stadium.
I hear it's awesome. Yeah.
I think, but if you ask our listeners where they want you to go, it'd be 97% the Colts.
You think?
Because you can. You can be an agitator.
I can.
You can potentially get beat up at a Colts game.
Okay.
Which would be great radio for me that week while you recover from your injuries.
Yeah.
I would pick up the mantle for, booting Indiana out of the union.
I'm hearing that I need to take one for the team. That's what I'm hearing you say right now.
This is the thing, too. When you boot a team that's on the coast out of the union, it's not as big a deal because they still have seaports and everything.
Yep.
You boot Indiana out of the union, and they will all die the slow and agonizing death that
landlocked.
They deserve.
Yes. Landlocked.
Because we'll blockade everything.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, so we'll circle back to the schedule at the top of the hour, in the 8 o'clock hour, I should say. But speaking of the Texans, non-schedule topic. Dan Graziano of ESPN has his list of the 10 biggest questions lingering around the league in the offseason, and it's about the Texans. Do we have the same question about the Texans to some of you? I think a lot of you do, actually, about the Texans as Dan Graziano does. We will hit that coming up next. I will get to Dan Graziano's big question about the Houston Texans. Seth, it is split four ways on the text page right now. There's all kinds of people weighing in on why Amy and I should go to Baltimore. Hey, Monday Night Football. You got to go to Monday Night Football in Washington. Vegas is always going to get a lot of love. And then the other one, people are bringing up interesting reasons to go to the Indianapolis Colts game. When we go to the Texans-Colts game, Sean, we spend 3 days on the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky and then drive up to Indy. Indiana blows is what this text says. Yeah.
That'd be fun. So the Bourbon Trail is like a wine tour, but for whiskey.
Yeah, okay. I've heard it's pretty cool. Like, we've driven through that part of the country before, and every time we do, I'm like, this would be fun to hit all these bourbon joints here in Kentucky.
What do they do on a whiskey tour? Do they take you out to the cornfields and show you just how the guy old world knowledge bringing these corn?
Well, I've been to the Jack Daniel's distillery multiple times in Lynchburg, Tennessee. I don't know if you've ever been. It's awesome. It's a really it's cool because they've got they build their own barrels there for it. So they've got a barrel factory there that's really interesting. And which is a big reason why the whiskey tastes the way it does. And they've got their own like natural springs that are in like caves that provide the water for the whiskey. So they take you're down in these caves where there's these natural springs. It's really, really cool. It's a cool tour. It's awesome.
Good. They hedged their bets back when they banned going over Niagara Falls in barrels. The barrel industry took a big hit. So whiskey is what bailed out. Jack Daniel's, people don't know this, originally started off as a supplier for people going over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
Right.
But whiskey saved them. Yes.
That's not a true story, but you know what a true story is? You know how he died, Jack Daniel's? Jack Daniel.
Gunfight?
No, that's a good guess, though, in Tennessee. No, he got angry and kicked a safe, like a big iron safe. A safe. and broke his toe, and it got infected, and he died.
You know how angry you have to be to kick
a story like that's got to be true.
Oh, my God, no. What the hell? That sounds... Who kicks a safe? Not Jack somebody Daniel. Who started Jack Daniels.
No, no. Well, maybe
not a guy that probably drank 2/5 of bourbon a day.
Jack Daniel, violent drunk. Yeah. Just ask the safe that he kicked.
Yeah. You know what, though? That safe never misbehaved again. I'll tell you that
much. Got that right, yeah.
They hung it. They hung it. That safe was...
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to go check that place out again. That was fun. Dan Graziano's list of 10 big questions lingering the offseason. There's only one team we care about amongst these 10 big questions for purposes of this segment. Why didn't the Texans do more to improve the offensive line? Here was Nick Caserio on our show about a week or so ago talking about the Texans rebuild on the offensive line.
I would say in our situation, we feel like we have a number of players that will be able to compete in the offensive line, and we have certain levels of players or certain grouping of players. You have sort of tackle-only group. You have tackles that can play guard. And I would say in Titus's case, he's proven that he can do that. On the inside part of the line, you have players that are center only. You have players that are guard only. You have players that can play all three inside spots. So what we're trying to do is build up as much depth and versatility, like legit versatility, not just on a piece of paper. You're going to pencil something in. This guy can do multiple things, all to arrive sort of at the same end point. Who are the five best guys that we feel most comfortable with? We're going to have eight players at the game more than likely. So you're going to have your five starters and then your three backups. You're going to have a next tackle. You're going to have a next inside player, and then you're going to have an extra player. And then what do you do if you lose a tackle? Who goes to that spot? Do you put the third tackle in the game? Do you move somebody from a different position? So there's different, but similar to draft, there's going to be a little bit of an ebb and flow here, and we'll get more information here as we work through the process.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's been inspiring words. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's go.
I agree with everything, but none of it inspires me.
Right.
You're in a little bit of the same boat as you are with the Rockets, where you, if you're anticipating the Rockets not doing much, it's a whole big trust me, bro, on the offseason. And nobody, if there's one thing that sports fans hate, it's trust me, bro.
Yeah.
Because I like the real, the tangible look. I want that big, fat human being playing right guard now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dragging the Rockets analogy out. With the Texans, the offensive line has been a sore spot now for a few years. And the trust me, bro, really loses its luster when, after multiple years, you've spent a lot of money on the offensive line and a lot of draft picks. Last year, they were one of the highest paid offensive lines in football and yet one of the worst.
Yeah.
So trust me, bro, really doesn't ring right when they've already been struggling despite spending vast resources on it.
Yeah, when you're cleaning up your own mess, it's hard to engender 100% trust from the fan base.
I would say at the very least, if this helps anybody feel any better, I would still rather have this question more so than really the same question that Dan Graziano asks of the Steelers, which is, why didn't the Steelers take quarterback more seriously this offseason? Because if you're a Steelers fan, I mean, it's as multiple years now where it looks like the Steelers are just cool being a 500 football team. And like, hey, look at this. We never have a losing season. All right. But like, we've been rolling with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and now maybe Mason Rudolph. Like, what the hell are we actually doing at quarterback?
So you're saying if the Texans had just run it back with the group they had last year, that might be an even bigger question in a Graziano article like this than the questions about the stuff that they did actually do this offseason.
Yeah.
Like, they ran that group back. Like, you ran back the group that 2 years in is getting worse and allowing C.J. Stroud to get hit 52 times.
I think the big thing about the Texans' offensive line is that they did part one of fixing it, which was getting rid of guys that they either thought were overpaid or not the right types of guys just not good, whatever it might be. And the rebuild hasn't been as aggressive or as easy to grasp as we want it to be, and it's uncomfortable because it really is. Just like you've got a brand new offensive coordinator, we have no idea if he'll actually be a good offensive coordinator or not, and then you've got an offensive line that, if Nick Caley is a good offensive coordinator, just by virtue of understanding the run game and knowing how to coach the run game, then that offensive line will look a lot better. Yeah. And then the run game helps, the pass protection, et cetera, et cetera. We just don't know right now. It's just a huge question mark.
Here was, if you're wondering how C.J. Stroud is feeling about the offensive line, or at least was feeling back in mid-late April when the team assembled at the stadium to begin off-season workouts. Here was C.J. Stroud asked, are you surprised by the moves that were made on the offensive line?
I mean, that's something I feel, you know, is not my pay grade. You know, it's just a quarterback. But at the same time, you know, you build relationships with guys and, you know, your LT, of course, who I know you're talking about, and Shaq, you know, those are two of my best friends. So that I've come into the league with. So, yeah, it hurts. You know what I mean? And you know, our front office knows that and they know how I felt about it. But I totally understand, and I'm not against it at all. I totally think that we're heading to the right side of things. And, you know, I think something I learned about Nick is that he has a plan. No matter what happens, he always has something up his sleeve. So, of course, sometimes we don't know what that is. But you just have that trust, and that's something that we actually talked about today, having blind trust and, you know, having earned trust. And for Nick, I mean, he's gained my trust in both areas. So I'm excited, but, you know, I'm always going to be best friends with those guys and rooting them on. And, you know, I still talk to them daily, so.
You know, he conspicuously left out Kenyon Green in that little part of the discussion. It would have been even better if he had said something like, Laremy Tunsil and Shaq Mason, those are two of my best friends. And, you know, I think Kenyon, he can continue to develop and maybe be good for us this year.
He made the distinction that he's not one of my best friends.
He's not gone. He's here. Oh. He's not here anymore. I didn't even. Okay. All right.
I noticed. Yeah. Wonder why CJ Gardner-Johnson was here. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense now.
I do, honestly, I thought CJ did a really good job of being transparent in that, there's a personal side to this. But that also, now he does make more money than Nick Caserio. So it's not above his pay grade.
It's above his pay grade.
It's above him on the organizational chart.
There you go.
Which is flat, CJ.
Mm-hmm.
Flat organization. Remember, that was the big thing for a while.
Flat organizational structure, baby. Yeah. I remember.
But I thought he walked that tightrope pretty well. As a young NFL player, we've talked about this in the past. Yeah, there's going to be times where CJ's going to start to learn that, okay, sometimes your best buds and maybe guys that you think are really good football players are just, they're going to be gone and you just got to keep moving on. That's life in the NFL.
It's going to be, well, here's the thing. And CJ, you're going to be a big reason for that because you're about to get paid in the next year or so. You know, there's going to be guys you have to watch go that you're friends with that are leaving for non-performance reasons. They're leaving because the team doesn't have enough money. They're actually good players, but you can't keep everybody. And CJ knows that. CJ says that his end-of-year press conference, hey, man, I know it's going to be a different team next year. But that is the first cut that I've heard him, that I can remember him talking about, just how close, like, watching friends leave, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, all right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we head into the 8 o'clock hour. All right, Texan schedule is out. If you could pick one road trip to go to on the Texans' road schedule, it's a good road schedule. You could pick one, just one, now knowing when the games are going to be played, which one would it be? I'm curious. It's a good text question. Text in 713-572-4610. We'll hit that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.